The Feast of Corpus Christi, that's what we're celebrating today. Corpus Christi is the Latin for body of Christ. And this feast was proposed by St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century. Now, there is already an observance of the institution of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, Holy Eucharist. That's on Maundy Thursday. But that's within the context of the Passion of our Lord and the solemnity of the occasion. It has a different focus because Maundy command, Thursday, also includes not just do this in remembrance of me, it also includes wash one another's feet and love one another. And so it was not exclusively a celebration of the Holy Eucharist. And so what Thomas Aquinas wanted to do was he wanted to create a feast focused solely on the Holy Eucharist, emphasizing the joy of the Holy Eucharist. Then it was approved, and the feast is liturgically supposed to be celebrated on Thursday after Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday was last Sunday. But as is often the case, those weekday festivals, like the Feast of the Ascension, which falls on a Thursday, get transferred to the following Sunday. And that happens in the Roman Catholic Church, and the CEC is following that same pattern. And so today is the Feast of Corpus Christi. But the body of Christ is more than just the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. Let me ask you, and this is not a rhetorical question, this is expecting an answer, okay? Into what were you baptized?
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ. Good answer. Yes. You were baptized into the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are all, therefore, part of one another because we are all part of the one body, which is Jesus. So when we celebrate the Eucharist and when we come forward and we receive the body and the blood of Christ in the Eucharist, we are in communion with Jesus. Yes, we receive him, but we receive all who are part of him. We receive one another. We are communing not only with Jesus, we're communing with one another in this celebration of the Holy Eucharist. So you see, it's far more than just the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. Let me give you a little story that illustrates this, I think, very well. My father died in November 4th, 1971. I was 16 years old. I had received a call to the Holy Priesthood when I was 13 years old. And I told him about it. And he told me that, no, you don't want to be a priest. You'll never be able to support your family. And I was, okay. My mother is the daughter of a Presbyterian minister. And she told him he was full of it. She had never wanted for anything in her life. But my father... He was a very persistent man. He was Irish, okay? But he was a very persistent man. And so he wanted me to be a dentist. I was 15 years old when he handed me an application to dental school. So he really didn't want me to be a priest. But he died, as I said, in November of 1971 when I was 16 years old.
You have pulled a lot of teeth.
Say that again.
You have pulled a lot of teeth in your years.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. Anyway, so 12 years later, 1983, I was ordained priest in the Episcopal Church USA. And the following November, on November 4th, it was my rota, and I was celebrating Holy Eucharist that Sunday, or it was a Thursday morning, I believe, that year. Anyway, I was celebrating Eucharist that day. And I was just praying, Lord, you know, I know my father didn't want me to be doing this, and I just feel so alienated from him in celebrating, and on this day especially. And so I just want some sign that he is okay with the decision that I've made and what I've been doing with my life. And when I raised that host at the Eucharist and started to break it, forgive me if I get a little emotional here. When I held that host up and was getting ready to break it, I very clearly heard the Lord say, you're holding my whole body, and your father is part of that body. He is with you here now. We're part of the body of Christ. And when we receive that bread and that wine, that body and blood of Christ, we receive everyone who is part of that body, everyone who has been baptized and incorporated into that body. So what do we do with this knowledge? Well, let me share another thing. I remember the first confirmation service I was part of as a newly ordained deacon at that point. I remember Bishop Barnes, and he was preaching about the Eucharist, and he was saying that the Eucharist is the blood system, the lifeblood of the body of Christ. Because in the Eucharist, the blood of Christ is circulating, as it were, when we receive him through the whole body to bring nourishment, to bring the grace of God, to bring the things that we need to live in Christ. It is the lifeblood of the body. And it also takes away, you're better. You're the medical person here. You can tell this better. The bloodstream brings nourishment to the body. Yes. And it takes away the impurities, yes?
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what the Eucharist does for us when we come together as the body of Christ. The body and blood of Christ, when we receive it, is bringing us the nourishment that comes from the very heart of God. It takes away the things that do not belong, washes us, cleanses us, removes the impurities from our lives. We dwell in the kingdom of God by living our lives in Christ, but also in the fellowship of his body. Apart from the body, if we separate ourselves from the body, it'd be like cutting. If you cut off a limb, that limb is no longer going to continue to live because the blood flow has been cut off from that part of the body. You hear what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. Let me give you a quick example. I was talking to a young man, I guess it was about 6 months ago. I was asking him, why do we never see you? Where are you? He says, I'm much happier communing with God on a mountaintop than I am inside a church. And I said, okay. But how is the church going to be built up and encouraged by your presence on a mountain when we're gathered together in the church? I said, that doesn't bother me. It's about what God is going to do in my life. I think we have a song about that, don't we, Jack? I believe it's something along the lines of, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the kingdom. It's about the body of Christ. You're cutting yourself off. You're going to wilt and wither, I told him. And you're cheating the body out of the gifts and talents that God has so graciously and abundantly given to you. And now the body is not going to be as built up and as strong because of your rebellion and insistence on being apart from us. Wow. You know what? It didn't make any difference. He's still not here. But anyway. Within the fellowship of the church, though, is where we receive the nourishment not only of the body and blood of Christ, we receive the nourishment of all of the sacraments. For example, I was really praying, actually, what happened to Jessica? Where did she go?
I think she might be in the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Anyway, she...
But you tell the story on her back.
Well, she was right there. Her backpack's still there. So I know she's around. Anyway, I was praying about Jessica this morning because she's going to have 4 wisdom teeth taken out tomorrow morning. And I was telling her, we'll pray for you after the service. And it hit me. We got to get back to that. Immediately after the service, there's a guest back there. Hallelujah. Okay. Immediately after the service, whoever's the preacher will meet you up at the front, and we're going to pray over whoever needs and anoint. It's been a long time. It just seems so long. It's been a hard road, folks. It's been a hard road. But we receive the nourishment of all of the sacraments when we are in the fellowship of the body. We receive encouragement and instruction in the Word of God. We receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit when we come together in Him under His reign and rule. We need the fellowship of the body. We need one another. I don't know about any of you, but this pandemic, I'm tired. Anybody else tired, worn out, beaten down? Yeah, okay. It's been hard. Now, more than ever, I need you. Now, more than ever, we need each other. We cannot absent ourselves from the fellowship. The body is diminished whenever any one of us is absent from another. That's why it's so important, especially for those of you who are out on Zoom who can come. I understand, like Alice or Linda or any of those who are far away. I understand you can't be here. But if you are local and you can be here, I strongly encourage you to come. Because it is in being together and worshiping and lifting up our hearts and our praise to God together that we are strengthened and encouraged and built up. Here's where the gifts are really made manifest within the body. And each of us, every one of us, is gifted. We need the gifts to build up the body. All right, well, let me share a couple of scriptures with you that have to do with the body of Christ. And I think they will illustrate very well from the word itself what we're talking about. What is it that we're going to do with this knowledge that we are the body? Well, in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, for as in one body we have many members and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members. Not just of the body. We are individually members one of another. You know, I get really kind of discouraged sometimes when I hear the political wording of certain things. Like, nobody can be handicapped anymore. We are differently able. I don't know about you, but if I didn't have hearing aids in, I would definitely consider myself to be severely handicapped. Okay? I can't hear diddly squat with them in. I can't hear at all without them in. Okay? So, you know, I don't consider that differently abled. I consider that a definite handicap. And, you know, when part of the body is missing, the body is handicapped. You know, I was thinking about, you know, We could be the church of IHOP because the right leg is missing. So IHOP is a church. You know, okay. Each person, every part of the body is an essential part of the body and plays a part in the whole. And we are with one another in building up the body. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. The cup of blessing that we bless. Is it not participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body for we all partake of the one bread. Now, I would love to get back, Amanda, to the using the one bread thing again, if we can ever get back to that. That would be lovely. We could do that. And I would hope, and I would pray that all of us would be able to take of that one bread, one body. And it is hard for those of you who are in Zoom land. I know we're doing the best to keep you communed and communicated in the body and the blood of Christ. But it is so much more powerful when we are together and have that one bread that we can all partake of the one body and be nourished by his body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. In the spirit we were baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit is working in the body of Christ, not just in us individually. That's one of the things that is hardest within the charismatic community. Everybody is as it were, their own little pope, you know? Okay, I heard from the Holy Spirit that, and now you better do what? Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. It has to be confirmed by the body. If I hear a word from God, I will share it with the rector's council. I will get confirmation. Or when we're hearing a word publicly, like this morning, we heard a word. There was a confirmation from the celebrant this morning. Yes, praise the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. You know, we hear the confirmation. It's not just each one of us individually working. We work together as a body, the Holy Spirit working in the body to build up the body, that the body may be what we have been called to be. And in the service, within our worship service here, particularly during the praise and worship music, when you're praising God, that is, as it were, getting our focus on God, and it empowers us, and the Holy Spirit moves more potently, as it were, at that time. Or when we're receiving the body, how often do you hear us after we have had the body and the blood of Christ on the altar? We pause and we hear the prophetic words or words of knowledge or words of wisdom that are coming forth from the people of God. As we are communing with him, the Holy Spirit is released in power and we are all strengthened. We are one. We are the body. All right. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Did you catch that? One body, Christ, in one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. Our oneness in the body is found in our relationship. There's that word. This is the relationship sermon. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. The oneness as the body is found is in relationship with the Trinity, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father. And we are found one in him. We cannot have fellowship without the fellow. And you cannot have the fellow without the fellowship. We need the body of Christ. We need to be part of that in order to maintain our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's the way he designed it. It's not something we have created. And if you don't believe me, how about if you believe the words that Jesus himself said in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23? Jesus said, I do not ask, he's praying to the Father, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you love me. We are one when we are in Christ Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, in fellowship with the Father. The world is dying to know Jesus. And what does it say? That they also, the world out there, that they also may believe that you have sent me. When we are one, when we are truly living the body of Christ model that Jesus has given us, if we are the witness that we're being called to be as the body of Christ, then the world will begin to believe us. It, you know, we talk about trying to bring the denominations together and all that, but folks, it begins right here. It begins with us. How many churches do we see falling apart because people are not practicing the biblical model for fellowship? It begins with us living together in community and being one, even as the Father is in Christ and Christ in the Father and the Spirit in us, that we may be one. Our oneness begins in this fellowship with Christ Jesus. All right, just two more. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Jesus has equipped his church with equipping ministers. You're not going to get that apart from the body. Jesus has given us apostles, our bishops. He has given us the prophets. He has given us the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers to equip us all to be the ministers we have been called to be. He wants us to be fully empowered for the ministry of his church. We do that by being in fellowship with the body. All right, finally, in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We're a body. When one part of the body is hurting, the whole body hurts. I'll give you a physical example. I was walking through the living room the other night. We have a beautiful fireplace in our home. This enormous wood-burning brick fireplace, which if this were a commercial entity, OSHA would probably ban it, because I am forever tripping over that doggone brick. Well, the other night I was walking through there barefoot, and I caught the edge of the brick with my three littlest toes on my right foot. I took the end off of all three of those toes and bent them back, and I fell flat on my face. And apparently in the falling, I managed to hit my other foot, and I have a huge bruise on the other foot, as well as not having any skin on my right toes. And it hurt, but it didn't just hurt my toes. It hurt all the way up my leg. You know, it's one of those shooting pains. And I'm like, wait a minute, I hurt my toes. Why does it hurt my hip? You know, because when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. But the beauty of that is when one part of the body rejoices, all rejoice together. I sent out a prayer request, a prayer, praise the Lord, on Friday. My brother had another PET scan on Wednesday. On Friday, he went to the radiologist and he got the report. You know, he's been fighting throat cancer now for about a half a year. His PET scan was completely clean. And I just loved all of the praise the Lord's and the hallelujahs that came with that prayer request that went through that. And, you know, I remember just not too long ago, Kevin was standing right up here, and I believe he had some news about a relationship that he wanted to enter into. And I think everybody was all upset about that. And they were, the dry eyes. He was giving a joyful message that he and Kaylee are going to get married. Hallelujah. And we were all so excited for them. When one part rejoices, the whole body rejoices. We are together. This is the body of Christ. We are nourished by this body and this blood. Yes, but this body and this blood is to bring all of us together as one body that we may do the work that God has called us to do. And there's a lot more that can be said about the interactions and so forth. And, you know, there's another sermon in here about Matthew 18:15 or Matthew 5:21 following, you know, about living together in community and what is required to do that and reconciling one with another. That's another sermon. That's for another day. All right. You can also look at in your newcomer material that Father Nick wrote that about Christian conflict resolution. And for those of you who are in the current newcomer class, we haven't gotten that far yet, but we will. I promise we'll get there. But you can go back and look at that. Or if you can't find it, give me a call. I'll give it to you. Anyway, let me conclude with this. We are the body of Christ. Within this fellowship of Christ's body, the church, we receive the nourishment of the sacraments. We receive encouragement and instruction in the word. And we receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Apart from the church, none of this is possible. We need each other. We need to participate in corporate worship. We need to receive the body and blood, because it is the lifeblood of our community. We need to exercise the gifts of the Spirit for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen.